Thanks for calling exactly on time. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Tony. I appreciate it too. We talked a couple years ago when I was in Cleveland at the time. So I have a couple questions just to start off here and get going here. So this starts off, music is our friend. Who came up with that one?
Probably Robert Fripp. Certainly not me. You would think with the band that all the guys in the band know everything that's going on. What you're going to find out as you ask questions, I know some of what's going on with the band, but I don't know the, for instance, if you ask, are there any plans to make a solo album or what's going to happen next year? I don't know anything about that. That's in the hands of Robert, our founder and leader, and management. Yeah, and it's a nice name for the tour. I would guess, my impression was that it has to do with that we were back with the gift of live music that we all missed and appreciate more than ever because it's been denied to us for a year, year and a half. I would guess that that's the reason for that name.
So you're returning to action, 30 shows in Northern America, seventh year returning. You didn't perform last year.
Correct.
And you're doing a big loop again with the tour. Is that right?
Yeah, the first we're in the process of going across the southern states, except for California and one show in Colorado, but the southern states. I think because it was easier, if you think back 8 months ago, it was a little easier to book in those states. They were more open to having bookings, and so we'll do the Midwest and Northeast after a little breath or a 1 week or 2 week break in August, later in August.
Cool. Yeah, I noticed there's only two shows here in California, one in Arizona. You're predominantly kind of staying there in the East Coast this time around, is that right?
Well, we haven't yet. I mean, we started in Florida with three shows in Florida, which is more
Oh,
than
of course.
we've ever done. And, went up to Atlanta and then Nashville and now two in Texas. You could call it the warm weather tour, but I think, again, as I said before, I think these early co earlier concerts are the ones that we were able to book ahead of time.
Right.
And then when things seemed like they were easing up, we were able to book the other places that we would normally go.
How did that actually occur? Because I just was reading that like the WOMOD tour with Peter Gabriel was canceled this year, UK.
Sure, lots of tours canceled. It's just I don't need to point out to you or to readers that it's a year of unpredictability. Last year was just a year of nothing works, and we thought we were opening up this summer and things would be easier and continue on that trajectory, and we were proved wrong. And so we who are out on the road are dealing with it, trying to be a little safe. We were planning on being safe and being careful, but now we're being more careful. And every week
Right.
the news makes us implement more safety measures.
So what do you do with that? Does that just wear masks
Well,
when you're not?
first of all, the whole tour was based around us being a bubble. So we're touring by bus, something King Crimson, if they ever did it, it's been a long time. Maybe in the 80s we did a little bit. So it's
Good.
a bus tour so that we don't have to interact with people who aren't in the crew and band, which I think our touring party is about 20 people. And if you fly every day, I have nothing against flying every day. It's what we used to do. And it just seemed to, when the management was and agents were planning the tour, it seemed like it was more risky. So there's that. And then we changed our policy about backstage. Nobody, friends and family who are usually our guests backstage are not allowed backstage. Usually we have what we call a meet and greet or a hospitality room, either before or after the show. All of that is canceled. So we do
Got it.
interact with the local crew and the people in the venue, but there's much less interaction with people. And frankly, I would be to be frank, to be honest, it's taken some of the joy out of touring. I love the concerts. That's why I'm doing it, for the music. That's why we love doing it. But I have friends in almost every city I go to, and it's a shame to not be able to see them in the usual manner. If they come to the show, they can see the show, but they can't see us.
These are all answers, good answers all the way around, because these are the questions I had. I know you're touring for the music. Absolutely. I mean,
We, especially for guys our age, whatever, though the ages
right.
range a
Yeah.
bit in among the seven of us, but we've been doing it a long time. You don't keep doing something that long that can be grueling if you don't really love doing it. And I've long ago realized that for me, those 2 or 3 hours each day that you get to make the music you love that you worked on for years, and you get to share that with hopefully an appreciative audience, that's magical and very special. It's as special to me now as when I started doing it in my 20s or maybe even in my teens, I started doing it. And that's why you tolerate the other 22 hours, which can be kind of rough, frankly. In King Crimson, they're not so rough. We tour in a pretty classy way. Like I said, there are tour buses, but they're nice ones. I tour in other bands like Levin Brothers, a jazz band, a quartet, and yep. Stickmen, a trio. In those, we tour by van and we set up our own gear and we go to a hotel only after we've been to the venue and done the show. We find their hotel. That's a much more grueling way of touring, but it's still very much worth it. If the show's great, if the show's even good, then it's definitely worth it. You don't want to be doing bad shows, then that would cause you to wonder what you're doing out here.
Good job, you know, all around. And in fact, I'm noticing afterwards, you're going to then go with the Stickmen tour in Europe.
Yeah. Stickmen, the tradition, since two of us, myself and Pat Mastellotto, one of the drummers in King Crimson, two of us are in King Crimson. What we do at the beginning of the season or something, when King Crimson books a tour, we then pretty quickly take the break that's coming after it and book Stickmen in it. And then my other band, Levin Brothers, takes whatever break is left after that and book something in it. So that's what you try to do to keep your options open as touring. All of that has asterisks in it in 2021, because many of the tours can't happen as they're booked or are changing in progress. And we're very happy. The Levin Brothers tour in June happened as planned, maybe 8 or 9 shows. And so far the King Crimson tour is happening as planned, but you know, we all read the news and we know what's going on. So anything far off, for instance, our trip to Japan in November, will it be able to happen? That depends how the Olympics go and politics go and all of that. We had before that, I'm not sure if we're still booked to go to Australia before that, but we were booked to go to Australia when the Prime Minister of Australia said he didn't want any foreigners coming in for any reason. And that certainly put that tour in question. As far as I know, it hasn't actually officially been canceled. So there's a lot of asterisks, a lot of question marks about our plans. And of course, everybody else's plans for this year. It's a crazy year. It's a year of trying to crawl out of the pandemic. But evidently, that road is proving to be a bumpy one.
Everything seems to be in an open concert predominantly. Is that right?
An open concert? I don't know what
open
you mean.
Open air. I mean, like a lot of these shows.
No, the last two we did were indoors, and today we're in a huge arena, like a hockey arena. I don't know how we got booked in there, because we certainly can't fill it, but we'll have an appreciative audience and it'll be good. But most of them are open air, and that's safer, and I feel better about that. Some of them are indoors, and each venue, we cannot impose our rules for seating on the venue or for masking or anything like that. So each venue has their own, and we hope that the venue is ensuring that the guests be safe, because that's important to us as well as to them.
Okay, so in this group, again, just as it has in the past, everybody is exactly in the same lineup. Gavin, Pat.
Have Gavin, Jeremy, Pat are the drummers. I'll give you their last names if you want, if you don't have them. Gavin Harrison. Pat Mastellotto, Jeremy Stacey are the three drummers doing remarkable things on drums. Mel Collins is our sax and flute player. Jack Ojakix, which I will give you the spelling if you need it, but Jack Ojakix is our singer and guitar player, and Robert Fripp is this guitar player, of course.
And who's
it's the same lineup we've had for a few years. Jeremy Stacey plays drums and keyboards, sometimes at the same time, but quite often he turns and becomes the keyboard player. He turns in his chair. He has the keyboards next to the drum kit and becomes the keyboard and lets the other two drummers carry the drum part for maybe a section of a piece or once in a while for a whole piece. Chris Grissom and Bill Rieflin was one of our drummers until he passed away of cancer. So we've had a few small changes in lineup through the, I don't know how many years, actually you had the year. What was it, 7 years ago that we formed this incarnation of King Crimson? And by and large, it's been the same, but with some small changes. And lucky for us that the
3-hour shows?
They were in the last tours. These tours were not able to do that. It's something about the kind of venues we're playing that we were only allowed to play two. Well, we also have an opening act or two opening acts, but we're allowed to play 2 hours. So we play 2 hours with an intermission.
Okay.
That we will be joined by the Zappa band, who will be opening for the rest of the tour. And it will change for us in the band. It will greatly change the logistics of the stage. I think we'll have to be on rolling risers so that you can, bringing bringing a small opening band off stage is very easy. They just walk off and take their gear. But a large band like the Zappa band will be is very special. But you need to both bands to be on rolling risers so the crew can roll one off and roll one on, which with a large setup is pretty tricky. And let me say that in the King Crimson band, we have the three drummers spread across the stage at the front of the stage. So they're a show in their own right. And I on one of the four people on a riser behind them, I get to watch the drummers. So I get to see that show in addition to playing it every night. And it's fascinating how they've devised a lot of strategies, you could call it, for breaking up. They don't ever just the three of them pound the same drum part. There are a whole lot of fascinating to watch strategies they use for devising a drum part for a section of a song or for a whole piece. And it's fascinating. And of course, even though King Crimson is doing our classic material, King Crimson through the years material, and it's pretty special, but we have kind of re-examined it all in a more modern context. And also because there are three drummers, or it can't possibly be played the same as it was in the 70s when it was one drummer.
Mm-hmm. And are the drummers actually creating some of the music? Are you writing some of the music for this tour?
We're playing now pieces that were written either before any of this tour or were written in the last few years. And each concert features at least one drummer only, or a drum trio, you could call it, or a composition that the three drummers have written. And those are amazing to watch. Lately, we've been starting. I can't predict what the show will be like the night that we're in Concord, because Robert Fripp only makes up the set list each morning for each show, and it's different every day. But generally, we've been opening with the three drummer piece, and before the rest of us even play a note, the audience, in my opinion, the audience has realized that they're seeing a show unlike any show they've ever seen, and that this is a King Crimson world that they, even if they know the band, they haven't quite been into this world that we're in on this tour.
So let me ask you, what are you listening to these days?
Well, that's a very good question. I don't get to listen to as much music as I would like to do. I'm a music lover from when I was a child, and I grew up obsessed with classical music. I was a classical player at first.
Eastman,
and I guess
right?
My first, yes, correct. And so my first choice of listening at home is classical music, but I listen to other things too. But the reality of being in a touring band and a working band and a few bands that are writing material is one spends most of one's day on the music that's either of right now or the music of the next tour, putting together that music, or studying kind of homework. You know, I have to become, for instance, in a few weeks we have a 2-week break, and one of those weeks I'll be participating in a music camp where I'm one of the King Crimson members who puts that on that camp. So I have to learn a whole range of music to play at that show, not only in concert, but to jam with the campers. And I haven't yet had time to focus on that. So to make the story shorter, I just don't have that much time to listen for pleasure. I do a lot of listening for homework and listening for just to be up to speed on what I'm doing now.
I noticed that you're doing a haiku every day on your website.
Oh, you know, thank you. You're the first person who's even mentioned being aware of that. I realize that I'm imposing that on Crimson fans who really want to see pictures of Robert Fripp backstage. But it's what I'm doing creatively, so I can't help but share it.
And because after
it's easy to pass by if you don't enjoy
cool
it.
It's very cool, because as soon as, is it Mikel or Michelle that joined you here in Atlanta?
Yes, Michele.
Michele, and you put Friends United, embracing may be risky, but hearts can hug too.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for noticing that. And you're aware of this. It's a funny thing about the web. If it's a web blog or if it's a road diary, ears like mine, you put it out there, you don't really hear much feedback about it. You're kind of vaguely aware that the fans go there and like it. But for instance, that haiku where I thought, I did pretty well, and it's kind of a nice haiku. You're the first one who's ever mentioned even having read it, and yet probably a few thousand people read it and kind of went on to the other pictures in it. Anyway, I've been kind of involved in the haiku form, and I'm aware that I really enjoy doing them, and I'm completely aware that I've broken some of the basic rules in the how should I put it, the road haikus that I'm doing. I think that was a conscious conscious decision. I'm not, I don't include the season. I don't, the third line doesn't always have a change of pace and things like that, but I forgive myself for breaking those rules, and I just decided, okay, these are going to be road haikus. They're going to be different than the standard rules, and that's okay. It's worth it, and I feel good about that. At the end of this tour, I'll have a nice collection of road haikus that have only to do with being on the road with King Crimson, and probably, I'm guessing that there are no other rock and roll road diaries that have a haiku of the day. I could be wrong.
I haven't seen one.
I feel good about that.
And it's very photographic, too, because it has to have an image.
So far, I've written many that don't have an image to go with them, but so far I've been able to snap a photo that makes it more user friendly for the people who aren't that interested in poetry, or that gives an image to show people what it is that inspired me to write that piece.
Yeah, I like it a lot. So, did you guys practice when you were not together? How did you do that?
Well, the last year was an adventure for everybody, every musician and every person. We all had to invent new rules and immerse ourselves in a new way of living, actually. So for musicians, I can't complain for myself. I have lots of projects that I'm sent to play bass on that I can do from my home studio. Usually I don't have time to do most of them. Last year I had, like everyone else, I had all the time in the world. So I got to play plenty of music, not with the intensity of being on the road, not 3 or 4 hours, 5 hours a day with the bass in my hand, but it was enough to keep me not immersed, but satisfied musically that at least I'm still in the game. And I find myself practicing more, frankly, because I was playing less hours and I started feeling it in my playing. So I had to add the practicing hour to my regimen, and that was worthwhile. Mm-hmm. I think a lot more people did albums last year than, at least that was my personal experience. A lot of people sending me tracks to play on, and I thought that was wonderful. There's maybe less standard outlets for all that music that was made last year, but that was good. And for myself, a lot of how I got through the year artistically was I immersed myself in this project, something that I intended to do and always wanted to do, but never had time to do, which was to collate a book, a very high quality photo book of all the years of my road photos from being on the road and taking photos. And I was able to do that and finished it about December. I started in June. I must have gone through tens of thousands of negatives from back when it was that kind of thing and that kind of medium. And then I became digital in the 2000s. And so to collate that and to make it a coherent book, not only high quality, I wanted really kind of large photos and high quality printing of it, but I wanted it to kind of make sense and hold together, which involved a lot of choosing which photos worked with the others. And so I felt very good about that. The name of the book is Images from a Life on the Road, and I think I tended to release it in December, but because of the COVID slowdowns on printing and shipping, I didn't get it until February, but it's been out since then, primarily sold through tonyleva.com, my website, which you knew. I'm just telling you that for the record.
No, I appreciate it.
I mean, you know the website because you've obviously seen the diary, the road diary.
I have. In fact, you had three other books, right? The road photo or Beyond the Bass Clef.
Wow. Good for you. Yeah, I guess. I haven't counted.
Crimson
Beyond Chronicles. The Bass Clef, Crimson Chronicles, and then I did a poetry book.
Fragile
as a Song. Yeah, I'm lucky. How lucky am I? I get an idea for a book, and I can put it out myself, and hopefully in a few years sell enough to break even, and that's what you want. That's pretty good, especially as a poet, for God's sakes. Yeah,
yeah. You'll be Poet Laureate of San Francisco when you're here.
That's funny.
All right, well, have a good tour, young man, and we'll see you when you get here.
Oh, you're very kind. Thanks for covering everything. I think I would like to add something you didn't ask about. We don't know what our plans are for the future, but I want to convey to fans that this could be the last time King Crimson is ever in the Bay Area. Quite possible. We don't know. It's not like anybody has said this is the end, this is the last tour, or there'll be one more of other territories. But I think it's been together a long time, and I think it's quite possible. And I think for my friends who are who are also fans of the band. I'm urging them to come to this show because it could be the last chance they have to do that. Well, I appreciate it. Nice to speak to you again, and I appreciate the intelligence of your questions. It makes it really a pleasure to speak to you for a half hour.
Yeah, it's really nice talking with you. Thanks, Tony.
Thanks. Be well.
Okay, bye.
Bye.